According to police, twin toddlers found filthy, dehydrated in a car with passed out adults. R. Kelly facing another probable 25 years in jail following a request from federal prosecutors. And I don't lie, accuser tearfully recounts 1975 alleged sexual assault by Bill Cosby at Playboy Mansion. Those stories and more today on True Crime Today.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Say he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her in her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
That indeed it does. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts or give us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. Helps other folks know that we exist. And it's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on with you?
Hey, I discovered a couple of big assholes in the world.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And like, they're total assholes.
Yeah.
And it's actually a crime story too.
Are you ready to jump into the asshole of the week?
Yeah.
All right.
I am.
Here we go. Now, Carol Hughes, asshole of the week.
How can I talk after that?
Asshole of the week.
Okay, so I came across this story and it just pisses me off because I really love the royal family.
Yeah.
And I totally understand why Prince Harry left. Like, I get it. I get it. Like, after all he went through with his mom, and then he gets married, and you know, here's the...
Let's criticize because the girl's half black. Oh, my God. Let's all freak out.
Yes, so...
Fuck you,
somebody
world.
Somebody kind of ran with that. It's a couple podcasters in the UK, and they're actually... There's a trial going on right now.
Good.
And he called in the podcast, Christopher Gibbons, and the other guy is Tyrone Patton Walsh.
Yeah.
And they have a podcast. I'm not going to give the name of the podcast because...
Yeah, don't.
If it's still out there, I don't want anybody listening.
I'm sure Apple already deplatformed it, but...
But I don't know. So... He described the Duke and Duchess of Sussex's, and that's Harry and Meghan, that their son was an abomination. And this little boy, he's little Archie. He's only like, what, 3 or 4?
Yeah.
And so they're at trial right now. They deny encouraging acts of extreme right-wing terrorism. And they're accused of using their chat show to commit the alleged offenses. They had particular hatred for mixed race relationships, the prosecution told the court, and allegedly used Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's marriage and children as an example of on the show. So he said, Christopher Gibbons, that the Sussex's baby was an abomination that should be, and I'm quoting this, this just makes me sick. That should be put down.
So how many people actually listen to this fucking show? I mean, like,
I have no idea.
I can't imagine it's like a wide listenership or
obviously
anything.
Somebody heard it and brought some charges.
Yeah.
And somehow I'm assuming it got back to Harry. Maybe Harry's the one that did.
What's interesting here is like in the U.S. Okay, so it this happens over there. There's these people that say these crazy shit and they go get charged. In the U.S., I think you could do it and you won't get charged. You probably could say those same things.
I got some more information. This is from the BBC and yeah. I didn't, cause I wanted to pull up a credible cause you know, there's so many stories out there.
Yeah.
So I went with, the BBC, their story. And, yeah. He did say that Prince Harry should be prosecuted and found guilty and judicially killed for treason. I don't know what judicially killed means, but the court heard that some 23 lengthy audio podcasts featuring quite crude, that's in quotes,
yeah.
images and interspersed with music were posted online to an account with 128 subscribers.
128 subscribers.
They are so, dedicated and unapologetic white supremacists.
Yeah.
They thought that if they use the format of a radio show as good as In Plain Sight, they could pass off their venture as the legitimate exercise of their freedom of speech. And so the court says what they were doing was using language designed to encourage others to commit acts of extreme right-wing terrorism against sections of society that these defendants hated.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I got no problem with that. When you're saying a small child should be put down,
You're pretty much out of bounds of everything at that point. It's
and this is, you know, and I get pissed off every time I read something about very judgy with Harry and Meghan, because I'm like, you know what? This is their life. I'm not living it. They weren't comfortable. This poor guy, his mother was, you know, tracked down by paparazzi. You know, she was hounded by them.
Oh, God, yeah.
And which is really what led to the car crash, because they're being chased. And so when he gets married and this is happening to his wife, you know, why wouldn't he leave the monarchy? I mean, he's...
For your own mental health, you have to go...
2, 3, 4, 5... Yeah. There's 5 people in front of him to be a monarch before he is.
We've reached a point in society where a lot of us are just calling bullshit for what it is. For the longest time, it's been because our forefathers did this and they did before that. And we're kind of the point where society's like, I don't fucking care. like y'all, that's great. Like, we can like recognize it and think about it. And but you know what? It doesn't have to like influence my major life decisions anymore. So, fuck you.
And it's like, you know, we were talking in another episode about mass killings. And, you know, when the Second Amendment was written, you know, these guys are loading their muskets.
Yeah.
And it's not like they saw these weapons coming. So, I don't know. Would they have written that a little differently? Maybe.
You think, like, if Benjamin Franklin, everybody like that, in there writing these sort of things and signing their names on it, Thomas Jefferson, if they were like, oh, the kindergarten on the road just got shot up yesterday with a bunch of muskets, I think they may have had second thoughts on that that process.
Well, people would have been how did they do that? Well, it takes 5 minutes to load your muskets.
Well, what the fuck? Why do we sit with this archaic thought on these people who are living in a different place in time, and we treat them like they're fucking, you know, prophecy makers of the future. And it's like, this is in their time. They thought this was a good idea. And it did apply to their time. But why the fuck are we, why do we just stand by and sit by these ideas of 300 years ago still really apply to us? No, they really don't apply to us anymore. So why can't we reevaluate some of these things and not be like, well, our forefathers thought this. Yeah, you know what? The forefathers of every other fucking country that failed and went up in fucking flames also did the same fucking thing. But we don't like to look at history and do that because it might like make us look like, oh, we're going to fucking go up in flames, which we are.
But we could never agree on rewriting anything. So no, that ain't
enjoy
happen.
Your flaming onion at Chili's as the country goes up, because I don't know.
Well, I reload my musket.
Exactly. Have your musket ready. Yeah. The new musket burger at Burger King, too. Got to check that out. Get the double whopper, double musket with the flame grilled. Just like the musket residue that goes on the burger. That's what it is. Musket residue whopper. And it can be the north or the south. You can choose your side. And each side, one side has more of a ranchy flavor. The other side is more of a Cajun flavor. And then whatever what's on your side, you can decide the north or the south musket whopper from Burger King.
You are so onto something there. One thing we'll all be able to agree on is it's delicious.
I want the Yankee Whopper. I want, and the commercial is like the Confederate ordering the Yankee Whopper, and the Yankee ordering the Confederate Whopper, and they find peace in deciding that they both enjoy the same sort of Whopper, but they appreciate each other's flavors. And then suddenly the world, or the war ends, slaves are free, and it's all because of the Whopper. And then the Burger King walks out.
Oh, Tony, you and your twisted mind.
That's how it works. That's a great fucking advertising idea. Here's the story. And I appreciate all you who give me lovely feedback on Apple Podcasts of my crazy ideas, because I do read those, and that's thank you. Twin toddlers found filthy, dehydrated in car with pastel adults. This is a nice little transition over here, isn't it? So, Butler County, Ohio. This is from WXIX number one with continuous news about crazy shit from Cincinnati to the lakes. We're here with you, WXIX. WXIX. Listen to it over and over as you go to bed. WXIX. Two Middleton residents are behind bars in Butler County, charged with child endangerment after police allegedly found them passed out in a car with small children in the back. Monroe police officers responded to the Todd Hunter Road on Monday night for the incident. The officers claimed the court documents they found Justin Simpson slumped over the steering wheel in the car and Stephanie Snadlin passed out in the passenger seat, with Snadlin having to be woken up. Snadlin's very small children were allegedly in the back seat. The twin 18-month-old boy and girl were extremely hot and very sweaty, thirsty, and filthy, police say. Police also claim the children were found sitting in old fast food scraps and diapers that had not been changed in a while. Simpson allegedly had a small rock-like substance wrapped in plastic in his lap. Police say he later admitted to it being a crack rock. That's different from the magic rocks or anything else of that nature that's not drug-related. Pet rock, those are good. Did pet rocks ever come back?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Beside Snadlin in the door pocket, police claim they found a crack pipe. Oh, shocking. She had extremely dilated pupils, was very lethargic, police say, but Snadlin refused medical treatment. Simpson faces a drug possession charge in addition to child endangerment charge. New court records that were obtained Wednesday show additional charges of disorderly conduct against him. The court records also show Snadlin is facing charges of drug paraphernalia and disorderly misconduct. Snadlin is looking at $2,000 bond, and Simpson is facing a $5,000 bond. You think it'd be a little bit higher? Like, if you're the judge, why is that like the max you can order in that county? Because I'm shocked by these.
People
sometimes
have no money, and so I mean, yeah. I'm going to guess it would be hard.
They have no money, but
with anything.
But I didn't know about this. When you go to like a what is it? The bail bond stuff. All you have to really do is pay 10%.
Yeah, except for you have to put up some collateral.
Yeah.
So if it's $5,000 and so. It's like, where's the collateral?
So there is. So you have to have collateral beyond that. You can't just be like, oh, I got $4,000 or something for a $28,000 bond.
Because then if you don't show up for court, then they're on the hook for $4,000, $5,000.
Yeah, and that's what they hold you up. And that's where dog, the bounty hunter comes in and finds you in the end of the taqueria.
I guess it's him and his
the other side of Maui, and you're sitting there just fucking downing Coca-Cola syrup, and there's fucking dog with his thing.
Speaking of dogs,
saying fuck you.
Dog sitting tonight. My dog has his dog cousins here.
Yeah,
and one of them just keeps coming in, and I don't know what he wants. He's like, I think it's cat food.
Yeah.
Because this dog's not around cats. So I'm sorry. If you hear something in the background, it's a dog like, I need cat food really bad.
Tonight I have my cat in the studio, and he's being very grateful because the dogs, they have our studio. You have to walk into our garage to get to it. And then it's a new room out here. And the cat's out in the garage, and he's very jealous when the dogs come in. And the dogs also walk out there too, and they eat up his food a lot of times. And he's like, meow, meow, my food's been eaten.
And of course, there's no more anywhere.
So I get him more, he's a fun cat. He likes to hang out in here, even though I'm allergic to him. But where you at, Bubs? I think he's sleeping somewhere. But anyway, hey, R. Kelly's back in the news.
Yeah, so what's this one about?
So R. Kelly's facing possible 25 years in jail following requests by federal prosecutors. I don't think he's ever really going to get out, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does an album over the phone. Prosecutors filed...
Because there was one guy who did that, and it did quite well.
Yeah, I could see him doing that. And he's a talented person. He can certainly do that. But I don't know. I think he might have a fan base enough to make it work. Prosecutors filed a 31-page document with the Eastern District of New York on Wednesday ahead of a disgraced R&B singer sentencing on June 29th. R&B singer and songwriter R. Kelly is facing possible 25-year jail sentence following a request from federal prosecutors filed in New York on Wednesday. In the filing, which was submitted to the Eastern District of New York, prosecutors cited Kelly's decades of crime and callous disregard for the very real effects of his crimes had on his victims. In a 31-page filing, the Chicago Sun-Times reported, and Chicago Sun-Times has been on top of this the whole time. If you want to read a really interesting audiobook on that, go look at the Chicago Sun-Times. I can't think of his name, who did it, but it's a very interesting audiobook. Kelly, 55, was asked by prosecutors to pay a fine of $50,000 to $250,000, CNN reported. The defendant's decades of crime appear to have been fueled by narcissism and a belief that his musical talent absolved him of any need to conform his conduct, no matter how predatory, harmful, humiliating, or abusive to others, to the strictures of the law. Prosecutors added that in their filing, reported to the Chicago Sun-Times, they continued that Kelly's actions were brazen, manipulative, controlling, and coercive. He's shown no remorse or respect for the law, the outlet reported. Put simply, Kelly's crimes were calculated, methodical, and part of a long-standing pattern of using his platform as a larger-than-life musical persona and his deep network to gain access to teenagers, many of whom were particularly vulnerable, and then to exploit them for his own personal gain and sexual gratification. In response, Kelly's attorney, Jennifer Bungeen, asked the court to hand her client a sentence of less than 14 years behind bars. According to Reuters, the disgraced musician will be sentenced on June 29th. Kelly was found guilty of racketeering and sexual trafficking by a jury of 7 men and 5 women in September of 2021, following a graphic month-long trial involving 50 separate witnesses. Much of the evidence surrounded Kelly's contentious 1994 marriage to singer Aaliyah, who was just age 15 at the time of the ceremony. Kelly, meanwhile, was age 27. In Wednesday's memo, prosecutors also wrote about the wedding, which was later annulled with the help of Aaliyah's family. Tragically, the 5-time Grammy nominee died in a plane crash on August 25th of 2001, along with 7 others, after shooting a music video for her song Rock the Boat. Aaliyah was only 12 at the time of Kelly's sexual abuse of her that began at 15, and he secretly and fraudulently married her in an effort to protect himself from the consequences of that abuse, prosecutors wrote Wednesday in the Chicago Sun-Times. Put simply, Kelly's crimes were calculated, methodical, and part of a long-standing pattern of using his platform. And we already read that part. Wednesday's court filing is by no means the only legal trouble Kelly faces. On August 1st, the singer is due to stand trial in Chicago on charges of child pornography and obstruction of justice. So, it's not going to end for him.
No. Do you think that, like, I mean, We would have no way of knowing. But do you think in his head at all, like, does he get it?
No.
Like, or is it like, yeah, I messed up, but a lot of people would be like,
he's
yeah,
the
I
murdered
that person. But no, I didn't on the outside. They're like, no, I didn't do anything. What are you talking about?
He is a sociopath.
But you don't think, do you, like, he doesn't get it?
No,
like,
not at all. No, and not at all. I mean, I know, I mean,
the way I feel too.
And I've seen this on personal things too in my world over the years of people, you know, playing me something from this or that, or you hear something from, and it's just like, that's a sociopath. Like they truly believe what they're saying to you right now. It's insane. It makes no sense. It's not remotely logical, but they believe their version of the story. And these people exist and they're out there and there's nothing we can really do about them until they do criminal acts
like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That for some reason it gives them permission.
Yeah.
And that's fine. These women want it.
Well, if you don't commit actual criminal acts, you could go on forever as a horrible human being like this. But you just can't break the law. But I think
it's somebody like R. Kelly or Bill Cosby. They're so famous that no rules apply to them.
Well, the thing is, his argument is the thing that kills his argument is that these girls are underage. If they were all of age, there's really not much you can charge him with because it's like they believed him. They went along with him. He really, truly, unless you can prove he was confining them, maybe he was, and I wouldn't be surprised. But if you can't prove that part, it's essentially being brainwashed. And there's really not a crime against that. It's just as long as he's not forcing them to do things that they don't want to do. That's the thing. But the thing is, a lot of these cases, they do want to do it because they've been brainwashed. Later, they may realize this was horrible. I shouldn't have done that. But in the moment, they were into it. And I don't know how you prosecute that or, you know, what you actually, it's free will versus not free will. It's don't get caught in something like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, and how can you really, I mean, people like this are crazy and they don't realize they're really doing anything wrong. They think they're just being themselves and they're sucking them in with their whatever. And it's horrible. I mean, but how do you prove any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, like we were talking about that in another episode a week or two ago about a sexual assault, you know, like that. I think it was Bill Cosby. It happened like in the 70s or something. Yeah. I don't know how you prove that.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, what do you do? I mean, to try and prove something like that, you know, it's just... Yeah. I agree. Like logical, you know, logic reason says, yeah, this probably happened this way. But I mean, the thing is with R. Kelly, you have so much evidence. You have so many things that were just dismissed left and right. It's like there's the fucking video of him when he's fucking like the 14-year-old or something from back in the late 90s. And it's clearly his house. There's fucking Grammy Awards on the fucking hot tub. And it's like that's an impersonator. Yeah, because impersonators just come in all the time and do that sort of thing.
Okay.
So I mean it's just craziness. But hey, speaking of everybody's favorite pedophile,
which is really weird. Sometimes when something comes out of your mouth, it's like, did I really just say that? And he's like, yeah,
we should have like fun little like music for like everybody's favorite pedophile. How about Bill Cosby? This is from People.
So he wasn't too much of a pedophile. He
liked him young. He was, well, this is kind of pedophile-ish. This story is very pedophile-ish. I Don't Lie, accuser tearfully recounts a 1975 alleged sexual assault by Bill Cosby at the Playboy Mansion. She was 16 at the time. Judy Huth is suing the comedian in civil court for an alleged sexual assault when she was 16. An attorney for Cosby, who denies the allegation, suggested in court Huth has told conflicting stories of her account. Fighting back tears, Judith Huth told a jury about the time that she says Bill Cosby molested her in 1975 at the Playboy Mansion. Huth, now 64, is suing Cosby in civil court. While the statute of limitations has expired for criminal case, California law allows victims of underage sexual abuse to file civil lawsuits decades after the alleged incidents took place. Cosby, 82, was convicted in 2018 of aggravated indecent assault, but last year, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned Cosby's conviction and ordered his release from prison. In civil testimony, Huth says that she was just 16 when she met Cosby. You know, it'd be an interesting podcast. Tracing back the history of that judge that changed that.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Like, really learning,
and
like,
digging into a deep dive
into that individual. A deep dive to their connections and how the fuck did that happen? She says she met with a comedian in 1975 when she and 17-year-old friend were watching a movie being filmed in San Marino Park in Los Angeles. Cosby approached the pair and asked them to come sit with him. Huth agrees. Cosby invited the girls to meet him the following Saturday at his tennis club, where he allegedly served them alcoholic beverages while they played billiards. Huth alleges she was required to drink beer every time Cosby won. After the girls had allegedly been served multiple alcoholic beverages, Cosby told them he had a surprise for them and brought them to the Playboy Mansion. According to a civil suit she filed against Cosby, Cosby allegedly told the girls to say they were 19 if anyone asked. When Huth told Cosby she needed to use a bathroom, he directed her to a bathroom in a suite, according to the suit. When she emerged, she alleged he found Cosby sitting on the bed. He asked her to sit down and proceeded to sexually molest her without her consent, the complaint alleges. He patted the seat next to him. She said in court on Tuesday, according to the New York Times, I sat down. He tried to lean me back. He tried to kiss me. He tried to put his hands underneath my belly button where my high-waisted pants were. Huth testified that she told Cosby that she was on her period. He pulled his sweats down, grabbed my hand, put it over his hand, closed it, she testified, saying that he then forced her to perform sex on him. Cosby has denied the sexual assault, according to the Times. His lawyer, Jennifer Bojean, offered a blistering cross-examination of Huth, accusing her of telling conflicting versions of the alleged incident. It's hard to keep lies straight, Bojean said. I don't lie, a tearful Huth replied, adding that she has buried the traumatic experience in the recesses of her mind. It's like trash, she testified. You dig a hole and throw the trash in. Civil case is expected to continue through the week. It's just...
And that's just going to be really hard to prove something like that.
Well, you can't prove something like that, honestly. But the thing is, there's enough women pointing at this guy. There's enough that's true. Whether there's some that are BS, sure, there might be. But there's so many. And that's where you go, yeah, without a doubt, this guy's done this sort of shit.
And that whole Playboy Mansion. Like, well, the thing is, discuss that. Like, how many underage girls were in there at any given time?
People don't look at it from the perspective of time either. They think of today's standard. And it's like, oh my God, this has been going on. How did that go on? Because that shit was normalized. Because we knew the Playboy Mansion was in existence and this happened. And celebrities went there and there were girls there. Probably a lot of underage. And we all just kind of said, well, that's the Playboy Mansion. And that's how it worked. It's not good. It's not, I'm not saying it's like an excuse, but that's how society was up until the early 2000s. Fuck, there was a show on E, The Girls Next Door, that had the girls on it. And one of them's been on the show many times. I'm friends with her. But there's dark shit that went on at that place.
Oh, hell yes.
So, I mean, it's not surprising at all. I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, back in though, I don't know what we were thinking or how we just wrote that off for so long, or it was a. But I can't imagine like a show like that even being on the air today.
Hmm. Well, I don't know.
But
maybe I could.
No. You're right.
Some weird hookup show recently.
There's all these hookup shows, and we make that normal. But if you were to make the commercialization of it more normal,
right,
that's where people draw the line. But we've made it more personal now. So our shows are very, very personal, not technically commercialized. And then it's like, oh, it's okay. That's great. Let's put all these people who are married together and they fuck somebody else.
Yeah, because I saw one recently advertised. It was like they came in as couples and then it just throws temptation their way and kind of to see who ends up together at the end.
Yeah, like what is this?
Weird. Like who would say, I could see people saying, let's sign up for that when they're not in serious committed relationships.
Sure.
It's like, we want to say we are to get on that show.
Yeah.
But even then, just like hooking up with random people for television purposes is weird to me.
It's narcissism. It's all fucking narcissism is what it comes down to. It's like, look at me, I can do this. And look, but no, anyone in a healthy relationship is not going to go, hey, let's go do that. Let's challenge our relationship that way. No. Why would you try and throw poison in the pond of something that's positive?
Right.
Like you throw a poison in the pond of anything that's positive, it can go wrong.
It's like, this will end well for everybody.
It's the same as like CNN where they sit there right now and they're going up to like the family members and like fucking sitting outside their homes of the fucking school shooting of these elementary students. And they're like, how do you feel about this today? How are you? Like, how about you get the fuck off my lawn? How about that? How about you don't fucking stand here and interrogate me when I'm just trying to go to fucking Piggly Wiggly and pick up some fucking chicken breast so I can have dinner? You're going to ask me how I fucking feel about my kids dying? Guess what? It sucks. How about you go fuck yourself? It's insane. I mean, they're really pushing the line of news and going to just straight up emotional news.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running on that. And I was sticking up for them for a little while. And people were like, oh, CNN sucks. Like, no, CNN fucking sucks. It's fucking dark.
I had to quit with all the news stuff because it was just too heavy for me. Instead, I do this.
So we do this show.
Talk about heavy news.
But we talk about it. We're not like bringing on families of dead loved ones. And like, it's not appropriate to do that. And it's just, I don't know. I'm so shocked by what I'm seeing on some of these networks. It's like, where the fuck did any sort of decorum go? Like, we used to have somewhat of standards. There's none. And then they wonder like, well, why do they think we're fake news? Because you're fucking playing into it. You are. You're making shit up and you're just going insane on this. I'm baffled. And I was on the other side initially.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore. I'm just fucking sick of it. It's like, let's let people have some fucking sanity. And we don't seem to be able to do that. But anyway, fun stories tonight. We didn't talk about the Chuck E. Cheese that someone stole a piece of pepperoni from. But that we'll do that next week. That was a pretty big story. One of the banjo bears was kind of upset. Someone threw a hard-boiled egg and it splattered on his banjo. But
in an adorably cute way.
Adorably cute. And yes, but seven people were arrested in that incident and three have still been detained and one is unconscious. We don't quite know how or why yet, but that's happened recently at the Showbiz Pizza on 8th and Elmore.
Even though you said it was Chuck E. Cheese, now we all know
it's a Showbiz Pizza.
Part of the fake news, Tony.
It's a Showbiz Pizza. Yeah. But they all turned into Chuck E. Cheese's, didn't they? Showbiz were all...
I have no idea, but obviously this is fake news.
You can no longer trust us. So there you go. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. Thank you guys for getting through it with us. We do appreciate it. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts or leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that as well. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Dark Side of, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.